I know that I am the best in what I do. I have no doubt in my niche in real estate. See, my mindset wasn't prepared to sustain a billion-dollar business. It was fantastic, man, but you really inspired me. And you said, dude, just be yourself. Be genuine, be authentic. I remember that. And just do a video every day. You know, don't make it complicated. Just make it happen. I said, I can do that.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cody Cottle Show. Today, I got an absolute stud on, Chris Aguilar, who is, and I want to start with this, Chris, and we've grown friendship, but yes. I want to admire you for a few things before I get into business. For one, you're an incredible friend. I will say that you're an amazing man in the way that you Thank honor you. Your brothers, the way that you show up, but you're also an incredible husband to your wife. You're an incredible father in the way that you lead your kids. And then in business, you're knocking it out of the park everywhere you step. You give it 100%. I don't think I've ever seen someone. I thought I had drive till I met Chris Aguilar. Whoa. And then I watched the way that you move and shake, what you've done, your story, the things that you told me, and you elevate me to a higher standard in my life. Welcome to the show.
Wow, Cody, I'm so happy to be here, man. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm obsessed about a lot of things of life, God, family, my investments, my companies, my employees, my people, my teams. You know, I'm an obsessive human being. You know, I was in a podcast the other day and somebody asked me, I said, Chris, don't you think that's a little bit addicting? I said, absolutely not. You know, an addiction is something that, first of all, you shouldn't have, and it hurts others, hurts yourself. But being truly obsessed, I'm trying to bring obsession back, you know, make it sexy. Yeah. And I feel
make America obsessed again.
Yes, exactly, dude. Yeah. You know, Gabe Mendez the other day, we're going to invite you next time. We had a tournament at my house.
Let's go.
We have a little soccer field, a little basketball court, and we had a little tournament going on for about 6 hours nonstop.
Okay.
About 6 hours.
You get a lot of obsessed guys together. You tend to have that.
6 hours, man. So Gabe was, Gabe Mendez, one of our boys, your friend also.
Yeah.
He was saying, Chris, you know, something that I like about you, exactly what you said, man. So I'm starting to be like, man, people are noticing that. That's, for me, it's normal. But he said, Chris, everything you do, like the party you threw was next level, was grand, was massive. I mean, you playing like basketball, like you were going all out. Soccer, you're going all out. I mean, social media, you're going all out. Your business is going all out. TCA, church. He goes like fully harder than what you do, man. I'm like, dude, that's how you live life, you know? With purpose. I know my purpose. Yeah.
I love that you brought that up though, because I've had the privilege now of getting to make friends with people that are called to a lane that God has anointed in, but that do it with an obsessed level of excellence. And there's a common theme of the people I typically have sit in the seat where you're at right now. They all have that in common. Mostly across the board, they're obsessed with where they're called. And the world has put a negative connotation on being obsessed, like it's a bad thing. They Except have that. Normalized mediocrity, and anyone that's obsessed and extraordinary is now outcasted because they do so much more. And the truth is, I'm just going to say it, is it makes everyone else feel like they're not doing enough.
But the truth is that either you're obsessed or you're average.
That's it.
Simple.
Like Grant Cardone says, be obsessed or be average. So I love that's that about
he
you.
Oh, he says it too? All right, that's cool. Yeah.
So welcome to the show, man. Well, there's a lot of different things that you've had going on. You're a serial entrepreneur. How many companies do you have now?
You know, we pioneered about 15 companies, 8 that are successful, that are still happening, you know, and TCA, our newest company, is probably going to be the biggest company I ever put together.
Let's go. And I want to take a moment to point something out. You just said we partnered with 15 companies and 8 that are successful or profitable. And I think that's key to point out because everybody looks at the 8. Everybody looks at like you're knocking it out of the park. They don't see the misses, right? So can we go there a little bit, Chris?
Absolutely.
Like,
love to.
In business, not every business we create wins. Mm. Obsessed people know that.
Yes.
And no matter what happens, whatever the outcome, company's profitable, not comfortable, it flops, I make a mistake, I lose millions of dollars, they're obsessed and they keep going. Tell us about your journey of how you've been obsessed in business, failures, successes. Just give us a little backstory on that.
You know, one of the things that I want to say before I want to speak into like, you know, trials or tribulations or adversity that gone in my businesses. But before that, I want to say that adversity is something that I welcome now. Problems are something that I welcome up. I welcome in my life. And Colin Hingebon says it all the time. You know, I love problems. And, you know, years ago, I couldn't understand that. But now I understand it. A problem is only an opportunity for you to go out and take new territory. And the bigger the problem, the less competition you're going to have. You see, so one of the companies, we opened up a security guard company and failed. We opened up a concrete company, failed. but I have a very successful general contracting business that has built over 2.5 million square feet of new real estate, you know, around our country, among other companies. But we also open up, you know, I left the dream go, open up a company, the first real estate wholesaling company in the West Coast. Back in 2008 or 2009, this company name was Housemax. It was a dream I got. God gave me a business plan, $1 billion business plan. And I woke up, wrote it down, and pioneered this new industry. At that time, there was only one other company doing this nationwide. We kind of like started the same year, but they were in New Jersey in the East Coast. Their name was Fortune Builders. And they were growing very rapidly. And I wasn't trying to grow the company. I was trying to use the wholesaling to just cherry pick whatever properties I wanted. I was buying a whole bunch of property for myself, family, friends.
Yeah.
And I would wholesale whatever I didn't like. And then it got to a point where I felt like I had like 15 agents, real estate analysts in my company. And I felt like investors would come to them and say, hey, you work with Chris, I can pay you, I can make you a partner in my company. I'll surpass whatever he's paying you. I'll give you 50% of the profits. You know the formula, how to pick up good deals, come work for me. So I felt like people were stealing my idea on and on for a couple of years. I got a little upset about it, and check out what I did. Talking about like,
what'd you do?
I opened up a company in Mexico. I looked for like another 10, 15 real estate analysts that I trained who spoke good English. I gave them access to public records, property radar, MLS, all that stuff that my agents had here, but they couldn't cross the border. Mm. So my mine of gold was protected in TJ. Fortune Builders, what they did is that they packaged it in a class and sold it between $20,000 and $60,000 a pop.
Yeah.
Around our country to thousands of people.
It blew up to like the biggest real estate education company at the time.
In our country.
Yeah.
And just recently, about 7 months ago, I was having dinner with them in Florida, and they told me that they reached, 6 months ago, they reached $1 billion in assets.
Wow.
And about 3 months later, they reached $2 billion in assets. Well, you know, the point of the story here of this failure through Housemax is that there's a parable in the talents that we know about. Yeah, servant went away, gave 5, 2, and 1 to his servant. I'm sorry, Lord went away and gave to his servants 5, 2, and 1 according to their capacity, right? And when he came back, the one that had 5 and 2 had multiplied times 100%. But the one that was given 1, he said, I was fearful of you because I know you're a hard Lord and I hid it. Here's your 1 talent back. And he called him an unfaithful servant. So in my story, I was the unfaithful servant because I hid it. See, my mindset wasn't prepared to sustain a $1 billion business. So it was a company that failed, and I mean we built you know millions, we made millions and millions of dollars with it. You know, we became very wealthy with that company as well, but the company's not open anymore. So we have other companies now that do wholesaling and what I call the BFWD, buy and hold, fix and flip, wholesale, develop, real estate. But that company failed because of mindset, because of poverty mindset, because of a unfaithful mindset. You know?
Yeah. Dude, there's a few key things that you said that was powerful. And I love that you brought up the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
You said capacity too. And I was talking to a mutual friend, Marco Contreras, the other day. And Marco said something to me that was really interesting. And he talked about capacity too. One thing that's never talked about in that parable is one was given 1, 1 was given 2, and 1 was given 5. And I never really looked at it to the different levels of capacity. And Marco looked at me because I was actually being vulnerable with Marco about everything going on in my life and ministry. And I look at him and I look at guys like you and Colin Higginbottom. I see the guys, the way you guys run in ministry, family, business. And what you got to get in proximity to what you want, right? So I'm learning. I'm 29. I'm growing in my journey. I'm going hard and fast. And
you're doing fantastic, man.
And Marco looks at me and he goes, yeah, but you're a 5-talent man. He said, God gave you more capacity. I believe that. And you're trying to not steward, like I'm almost like looking at the 2-talent man saying, why can't I have that capacity? Why can't I have less that I have to steward? Why do I have to this? So there's very interesting correlation. I thought it'd be cool to bring up how he gives different levels of stewardship to different people.
You know, I think the greatest book ever written was the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think that even my book, Just Maximize, is every business book out there. When I read it, I'm like, hey, that's in the Bible. Hey, that's in the Bible. I feel like the greatest books are a diluted version of the Bible. And it's great because they give you a different perspective.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I do with the Bible, and especially talking about the parable of the talents, is I like to reverse engineer things. And the parable of the talents says they were given 5, 2, and 1 according to their capacity. So if you reverse engineer that, What does that mean? That if the person who was entrusted with one would have worked, invested in his knowledge, wisdom, education to increase its capacity, perhaps
he would have been given more and entrusted with more, perhaps.
It could have been 5 and 5 and 2.
Wow. You see,
so if you increase your capacity, you're going to be entrusted with more. I always say this. You know, my son is 5 years old. And just this week, we started working out together. He spots me and I spot him when we're doing chest, and he's 5 years old, right? So my son listens to me. You know, big Chris listens to me. And if I would say, son, grab that 120-pound weight, I'm going to let it go on top of your head. Make sure you carry it. He would do it. And I would hurt him. Me as his father, I would not do that to him because he doesn't have the structural capacity to sustain that weight.
Yeah.
You see, so we might be asking for a $1 billion business while we don't have the structural capacity, the mindset to be able to sustain that wealth.
This is so good.
You know, it is said that out of, you know, 100 men, 50 can take adversity, but only one can take wealth.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I don't take that lightly. I educate myself. You know, I always say this, I don't care who I'm going up against with in business. Who am I competing against? They might have more talent than me, more skill than me, more hair than me. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to outwork them because of the heart that I have.
Yeah.
You know, I won't sleep, but I will take them out. It's just how competitive I am in this sport. I see business as a sport. And that's the type of mindset that you got to have to be a champion in business in this sport, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's so good because, and there's people listening to this that hear what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, how often do we go to God, help me build the $1 million company or this or that? Yes. But God, as your Lord, wants to see according to your capacity, because he also knows there's a reason what you just said, only one out of 50 people could handle wealth. If you're not in the right structural place, just like you said with your son, wealth can collapse you. It can corrupt you. It can ruin you.
Yes.
So someone's listening to this, Chris, and they're believing for big things, success in business, success in family. What would you say to that individual about growing their capacity?
You know, it's don't make it complicated. It's super simple. Regardless of what industry you're in, I don't care what industry it is. It's all the same. Look, identify the top 3 dogs in our country or the world that are doing it. Learn what they're doing. Do exactly that. Even their lifestyle, what time they wake up, the team they built, the talent in their team. Be yourself. Don't be them. Be yourself. But just do what they do. And you're going to become very successful in whatever industry you're in. That's kind of like more like a high level, know, advice. But
success leaves clues.
Yeah.
Right? If I wanted to build wealth in real estate like Chris Aguilar.
Yeah.
Get in proximity to Chris or read the book. So here's another cool thing. I just want to give a tip to him. Sometimes you can't get in proximity to a Chris Aguilar right away. You're a busy guy. You're running your lane. You have a lot going on. You have to protect your circle. Right. So I've heard that a lot. And I'm like, yeah, but Chris Aguilar wrote a book for us called Just Maximize. And it's got all of his best content in it, because I know anytime someone writes a book, they put their best stuff in it because they don't want their book to suck.
Yes.
And you can get direct mentorship from Chris or listen to podcasts. And there are ways through serving people and bringing value that you might get more and more in proximity to who you want to be around.
You know, I love what you just said. We actually just got reached out by Patrick Bedavid. You know, I got into social media really about four months ago, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's blowing up. We're doing fantastic. And thanks for the team that I have. It's not because I'm so incredible. I'm great at what I do, but we have a great team around us.
Yeah.
And props to you too. You were the first person that when I wanted to get back into social media, you know, Carlos Rivera mentioned you and said, you got to talk to Cody. Dude, talking about taking action, I remember you came with your beautiful fiance to our house at like 10 at night.
Dude, we were there till like midnight or 1 in the morning. It was great.
It was fantastic, man. But you really inspired me. And you said, dude, just be yourself. Be genuine. Be authentic. I remember that. And just do a video every day. You know, don't make it complicated. Just make it happen. I said, I can do that. So that was a good tip. But I got around you, going back to what you were saying, I got around people like Carlos, like Cody, who are fantastic at social media, because I wanted to have a presence in social media, because before it, I sucked at it. You know, so is that simple? You know,
that's so good, man. And I want to, there's something cool. I think we can, a great segue right now. You know, people can ask for advice. I have people ask me for advice around social media all the time. I don't give it to everyone anymore because I know not everyone's going to take action and often waste my time. And I'm sure you're used to that too. But when you see someone like yourself, Chris, who all right, cool. I need to do this, this, and this. I need to surround myself with these people. I need to build this team. Dude, I've never seen someone attack social media with such an obsession so fast as Chris Aguilar. I mean, you're making videos in Spanish. You're making videos in English. You're blowing up on TikTok. You're blowing up on Instagram. And dude, that was the coolest thing ever, just to see, like, dude, this guy gets it. No matter what, no wonder you're successful in real estate. No wonder you're successful in those things, because you become obsessed and you go after it. You get the right information, you build the right team, and you show up.
Yeah. You know, we put out about, you've been seeing us on social media, because we put out about 16 videos a day. And hear this story. So I called a couple of people to help me out and help me build my social media companies.
Yeah.
And they were charging me like between $20,000 and $40,000 to do 20 videos a month.
Dang.
With editing, recording, and all that. And I said, dude, I want to put out like 16, 20 a day. Like I can afford it, but it's not a smart investment in this new venture I'm doing. So, you know, we built our own company, Maximize Marketing.
Come on.
And we have about 6 great people that run that company. We're able to pump out, you know, a whole bunch of videos every day, and we're getting some traction. And as I was saying, Patrick McDavid's executive assistant, Leo, called me up because he saw us on social media, and we probably have mutual friends in common. And he interviewed me for an hour and said, hey, what can we do for you? How can we collaborate? And honestly, I didn't follow Patrick McDavid as much. And I started following him now, and I'm learning that he's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, they reached out to me. That's fantastic. But because I'm putting in the work, is that simple. And you know, I've mastered my craft. I know that I am the best in what I do. I have no doubt in my niche in real estate, holistically, the understanding of it. I feel like I have beyond a master's. I spoke in this conference, and the guy who was introducing me said something that was very beautiful. He said, guys, this man right here is not a real estate agent, and this guy's a broker. He said, but he knows more than any broker that I ever met about real estate.
Wow.
He goes, and I, you know, I take that, you know, I own it. It's cool. Sounds really good how you said it, but I earned it.
Yeah.
You know how I earned that? I earned it by going in MLS, going in the public records, you know, sector years ago, you know, 15 years ago, whatever, and looking at every single deal that sold to investors on a daily basis in Southern California.
Yeah.
Who bought it? You know, how much they sold it for, how much they invested in it, reverse engineered the construction, who was the bank, what interest they charged them, did they have a partner in it, how much you profited overall, what was their net?
Obsessed.
So yeah. I was the market.
All right, so you got to tell the story. There's a story you've told me. You were a young man at one time, hungry for success.
I'm still hungry.
Can you tell us the story? You know what I'm talking about, ice buckets.
Oh, yeah,
ice buckets. Can you tell us the story, bro? And guys, I want you to listen to this. Everyone listening, watching the podcast, I want you... Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but I want you to really picture Chris Aguilar. How old were you?
That's probably right out of San Diego State. It's probably 22.
Okay, so Chris, and I could say this, you're a multimillionaire. You're successful. You've built companies. A lot of people don't understand what you went through to get there.
Right.
Can you tell us the ice bucket story?
Yeah, you know, so when I went to San Diego State, and I went there because I wanted my younger siblings to have a good example of... you know, having an older brother who graduated from school with a 4-year degree. I was the first one to do it. And since I'm a little obsessed, I went to San Diego State and broke the record where I was the fastest guy ever in an impacted major in business to get a degree in that school. I think I got it in about 2 years and 1 month. I got my bachelor's degree. Talking about being obsessed, broke a record. I don't know if anybody has broken my record. I got to go check. But as I was doing that, I was also applying for jobs. And I got an international business degree. My dream was to work for a company to import and export stuff between Canada, United States, China, whatever, right? Europe, traveling all the time. That was my thing at that time, what I wanted to do. Nobody hired me. But then I said, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna start applying for construction companies, because I grew up in construction with my father in construction job sites. So every single construction company that I applied for ended up hiring me. Like, they accepted my application. I said, whoa, this is kind of crazy. Then I remembered a prophecy. I don't think I told you this. When I was 13 years old, as my dad went to go preach to a church, the pastor, after my dad was done preaching, grabbed the microphone, and I was sitting in the back. I knew of God, but I wasn't a believer back then. Called me to the front and say, son, I see massive influence in your life. You're going to be a very wealthy man. He said, you're going to be in the business of construction, and you're going to be building churches for the Lord. And I said, I opened up my eyes, and I'm like, first of all, I don't like construction. you know, at that time, right? Because it sucked waking up at 5 a.m. to go to construction. But anyways, to make a long story short, I started applying for jobs in construction, and everyone would take my application. So I said, I got to take advantage of this. So I applied at that time to the biggest employer in the state of Arizona, Point & Gosnell Builders, type 5 developer in our country. Wow. And I applied for a director of operations position. And they didn't hire me in that one. So I went, showed up to the interview, and all those people that I love, actually one of my very best friends that I met in that company passed away yesterday, Richard Alstermeyer. Love that man.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But I saw that video that you shared.
Yes. Meant a lot. Resilient man. But anyway, so showed up for that interview. The CEO of that company, the president of the company came up and looked at me and just kind of looked at me from top to bottom. And he turned around and talked to his executive secretary and said, "Where's my 1 o'clock? Mr. Aguilar's right here." He looked at me again and said, "Hey, is that a joke?" He said, I'm sorry, kid, nothing against you. I don't have time for this. Because I applied for a position where somebody needed like 20, 30 years experience. I'm 22 years old, right? Nothing to do with like racism, nothing like that. So what I did is I followed him to his office. I said, "Sir, I just need 5 minutes of your time. 5 minutes of your time." Well, we're already in his office. He's like, "Dude, you're already in my office. Just sit down. 5 minutes. You got him. Go ahead." I said, "Look, no matter what I tell you, you're not going to believe me." I said, "Because of my age. But give me the worst project that you have, with the most problematic, with the most issues, zoning, compliance, whatever it is, I will come back in 7 days with a budget subtrade assembly schedule, with subcontractors that are going to build it for you, a budget that is with a 10% margin of error." I said, and the phone numbers of everyone you need, including consultants, architects, engineers, geotechnical people, all that stuff. And he looks at me and he goes, "Is that all I need for you to get out of my office?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's it." So gives me the plans. I offered to pay for them. He actually gave them to me. You know, they're worth about $300 back then, a big set of plans for a project that size. So he gave me this project called Lakeview Condominiums that I later on developed. But 274 condominiums, and that's that's where the bucket story comes in. I didn't know what I had promised. I worked day and night for 2-3 days. And on day number three, man, no matter how many Red Bulls I would drink, I could not stay awake. So what I end up doing is I went to the backyard and found 2 empty 5-gallon buckets of paint, and I put water and ice in them, and I put my feet in it so I could like not sleep through the night and continue working.
Obsessed. And I did that.
Obsessed. That's right. Obsessed to win. Obsessed to do what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and on day number six, I called Steve Bears, came back to the company, presented what I had. He looked at it. He looked at my face and said, "Where'd you get this from?" I said, "Sarah, I built it. I told you need me. You guys have a great presence all over the world, but you guys don't have a big presence here in California. Guess what? I know everyone here. You need me." He's like, "Give me 1 minute." He turns back, opens up his briefcase. He opens up his that his project managers in Arizona had done. It took them about 3 months to do. And he compares it, and they're about 5%, you know, as far as price goes, 5% of error. On price, and he ended up hiring me within a week or two. And that's the bucket story, man. That's how I got that job. That job changed my life. When I got hired on that company, I became a multimillionaire immediately, instantly. Wow. I mean, I had access to company yacht, boats, plane, executive homes around the world at 22. People would come pick me up in limo just to do business with me. It was insane. So it was a beautiful experience, but because I was obsessed to winning.
I love that story.
What I committed.
Yeah. And when you told me that story, I think about that, bro. I'm hustling. I'm doing things. I got so many different projects going, a lot of things happening. And there's moments I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired. And then I think of Chris Aguilar at 22
years old. You get the buckets
old.
Out?
Yeah, I actually haven't yet, but I pushed through. That I'm about there. If I ever get to the point I can't keep my eyes open, I'm getting some buckets.
Let's
I
go,
feel man. Like I just got to do it, and I'm going to record a social media video and tag you in it.
Oh, I love that.
Just to do it.
If you do it, I'll do it too, man.
All right, bet. Maybe we do another podcast where both our feet in our buckets the whole podcast.
Dang, man.
I know,
it's going to be a little cold.
It's high.
Yeah. I drink coffee now, actually. So
We'll drink coffee and put our feet in ice buckets. But I wanted you to mention that on the podcast, because that's a different level of obsession, a different level of conviction. Yes. That is so far above mediocre and average. That is, I will do whatever it takes to win. Yes.
And Cody, let me say this. I jokingly said it's going to be too cold. Bro, I'll do it anytime.
All day.
I'll do it longer. Well, I don't know about that. So you see, one of the mindset of a champion is that either you die or you win. is that simple. When you burn the boat is just a distraction. So if you know that the never underestimate the power of you when you're against a wall, and the only way out is to win.
Yeah.
So if you set yourself up in a position where you truly believe that the only way out is to win, you're going to succeed. So I feel that I got you, man.
That's so good, bro.
Yeah.
That's good, man. I got a question for you that popped in my mind. You're a multimillionaire. You're successful. You didn't have to do social media.
Yeah.
Bro, your life's good. You don't have to do social media, but you chose to do social media and you chose to go all in on it. Why?
You know, purpose. I know if I was to ask anybody listening to us right now, what is the one reason for your existence here on earth? Would you have an answer immediately? If you don't, then think about it. Something that I would hate is to watch someone like anyone being in their deathbed and thinking, I didn't live my life. I didn't take the risk. You know what? Something that I know for sure of everyone watching is that you will not come out of life alive. That 150 years from now, we're all going to be dead. So might as well just take the risk. Mm. There's nothing to lose. You know, you're going to die when you're going to die. So I think I went off track a little bit, but what was your question again, Cody?
That was good. You know, it's just why put yourself out on social? Why take on the time, the energy, the finances invest into going all in on that?
And we said purpose. Yeah. So yeah, I got sidetracked with purpose, man. I love talking about people's purpose because I think that's the most important thing to have. My purpose in life is to be an influential man that my wins are so big that people ask me for the secret sauce and I'm able to witness God, able to worship God through
it.
So that is my purpose. And my way of serving God is in the marketplace because I'm gifted for it.
Yeah.
Like everything I put in my hands gets multiplied. Mm. I'm a multiplier. I know what it takes and I'm willing to pay the price. So that's why I'm doing it. Let me tell you something happened yesterday. Yesterday, my son graduated from preschool. I was there. It was pretty awesome. Had a great time, took pictures and all that. But then they had a little party afterwards. I was at the party for about 10 minutes. But then I had a meeting in my office that I set up and I had to leave. As I was leaving, I received a call from Richard Ostermeyer's daughter that she was about to unplug her father. And this man meant so much to me, means so much to me. He marked my life forever. Talking about being obsessed for what you do. He is probably the best architect that our country has ever, you know, created.
Wow.
The best in his craft. And as I was driving to my office, I said, Chris, I doubted myself, Cody. I said, why? I don't have to work another day in my life, dude. Like, I'm set. Like, why am I leaving my son? What if I die tomorrow? What happened to Richard? What happened to me? You know, five years from now, 3 years from now, tomorrow. And I said, Do I really need to go to my office today? Should I just cancel the meeting and go to my son's? And I said, no, I'm on a mission. I have an assignment. I have purpose. I know what I'm building.
Yeah.
I said, and my children would not be proud of me if I don't go after my purpose. So I came to my office and had an amazing time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. That's powerful.
Thanks.
Purpose. Man. Purpose has come up multiple times in the last 5-10 minutes. You know, I think that when a man loses his purpose, he withers away and dies. I heard that one time.
Yeah, I believe it.
And men and women, we have to have purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think that God designed us. Actually, I know that God designed us in that way.
Yes.
Even when Adam was created, God didn't just place him in a garden, give him a wife and say, hey, chill and enjoy the world I have built for you. He's like, I need you to name the animals. I need you to work the land. He knew from the very beginning that man needed purpose because purpose brings meaning. Meaning brings fulfillment. Fulfillment brings joy, happiness, all of the things
greatness.
In life. And there's people that, and I think there's, do you believe that there's different callings and purposes, like in the sense of there are guys out there that are stay-at-home fathers that find purpose and fulfillment in that.
That's cool.
But there's also guys like yourself that you're paving roads that haven't been paved, that other people will one day drive on, that never would have existed had you not gone and paved the road.
Right.
Purpose.
You know, purpose, you know, one of the most difficult things is to align with your purpose. So a couple of things about purpose. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you're thinking, well, like truthfully, I don't know what's my reason for existence here on earth, or what's my purpose. And even if you're like a Bible guy and you're like, Chris, Matthew 28, you know, the Grand Commission, you know what? I agree with you. That's cool. But hey, not everyone's going to be a pastor, a preacher, a, you know, an evangelist, a teacher, you know what? Those five ministries. What about the people in the marketplace that have been gifted to be in the marketplace? What about the people who have been, you know, appointed to be in the arts, politicians, you know, all the spheres? You know, they are living their purpose, even for God, if they're connected to God through their sphere, through what God has put in his hands or their hands.
Yeah.
So a good question will be, what has God put in your hands? And what are you doing with it? Are you using it for the purpose of your existence here on earth? So if you don't know what your purpose is, ask yourself this question. If I give you $5 million right now, actually cashier's check, and it clears tomorrow in your bank, what things will you still be doing? And better yet, what things will you not be doing? Ask yourself, what am I good at? Ask people around you, hey, what am I good at? People that truly know you. You know, I've done this before. That's why I'm saying this. So, and if this questions can't get you to your purpose, then hey, call for a meeting. Invite the people who know you the most since childhood. I don't care if you don't talk to them anymore. Like, buy them lunch or whatever. Get them all in the room somehow and ask them the question. And the question should be, hey, what am I good at? You know, when I did that years ago, you know, they all told me a whole bunch of things. But the word that I kept on hearing is real estate, real estate. You were born for this. You love it. You have a passion for it. Since you were a kid, you loved it. I said, okay, all right. And then something else, one of my older brothers actually said something pretty cool that came out of that meeting. He said, Chris, you know, man, it's one of the things that I got to tell you. He goes, it's not your purpose, but one of the things that I know about you, and I actually used this against you, Chris, growing up as your older brother. He goes, if somebody tells you you can do it, it's like something ignites inside of you where you become unstoppable. Like you truly will die.
Yeah.
Or conquer that. He goes, so use that because it has worked for you. And that was pretty freaking awesome. So get people that you know in a room, asking what you're built for. That'll help you.
That's so good, man. Thank you for those practical tips too. Couple things I want to hit on before we finish up today. You just wrote an incredible book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just Maximize. We have it right here. Is it available on Amazon?
You know, it is not available on Amazon. Purposefully is available on our website.
Okay. What's the website?
So it is www.thechrisaguilar.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thechrisaguilar.com, guys.
Yes.
Go check out the book. Now tell us about the book, Just Maximize, How to Become a Millionaire Without Working Weekends.
Yes.
What's in the book?
So, you know, wealth is not the money you have in the bank. It's not possessions. Wealth is a set of rules and principles and mindset. That's what wealth is. So what I did is I put myself in a cave for 4.5 months and I wrote down every single rule and principle that has helped me build wealth. And it's in that book. And it talks like the first chapter talks about my life story. And I think the ice bucket story is in there. The second chapter talks about in the prerequisites to entering into the sport of business. And I just start easily diving into the educational part, teaching you how to do the BFWD strategies, how to buy and hold, how to fix and flip, how to develop, how to wholesale real estate. So this book, I feel that, and I even say this in the book, I feel that if you read this book and you truly do everything that it's in it, and you have any questions, feel free to reach out through social media and I'll answer your questions. I won't charge you for that. But if you do that, you'll become a millionaire within a year or two. I believe that if I was to lose everything I have, I'll gain it back within 8 months to 2 years, depending in which state I'm working in, because each state has its own macroeconomy for real estate. And what I just said is no different than saying that Michael Jordan at its peak could play basketball, the same level of basketball in a San Diego stadium, Los Angeles stadium, New York stadium. Once you have this skill set, the principles, rules, the mindset to go and build wealth, you can do it anywhere. You can rebuild it again. It's not difficult. It's just a matter of you wanting to do it. So, that's what's in the book, man.
That's so good, man. Yeah. So I got a copy today. I'm excited to read it, to dive into it. I'm an avid reader. I love books because people put their best stuff in books. I found that like anyone I want to get, you know, and I have the honor of getting to know you, Chris, and building friendship with you. We have an event coming up. We're going to speak at. Excited about that. What's the dates for that again?
So the name of the conference, Cody, that we're going to be in speaking together is going to be in Modesto, California.
Let me know what the name of the conference is.
Becoming Recession Proof.
Becoming Recession Proof. All right, so we'll start right here. So you got an event coming up that I get the honor of speaking at, Becoming Recession Proof.
That is right.
In Modesto, California. Chris, tell us a little bit more about this event.
Including yourself, just talking about the mindset, principles, and rules that you need to be successful in a downturn economy, in a recession. The biggest transfers of wealth happen in a recession. And you, by attending events like this, is going to enable you to be able to tap into that. So dude, I'm so excited that you're going to be able to speak on it. It's going to be June 24th. You can't miss it. Modesto, California. Amazing.
Yeah. Where can people get tickets?
You know, if you go to my Instagram and you go on the link of my bio, you'll be able to get tickets there. And we'll send you a link as well, Cody, so you
can promote. And your Instagram handle is?
So my Instagram is the.chrisaguilar.
And guys, make sure you come check it out. I'm going to be bringing some AI to the conference, how you can evolve your business so you don't go extinct. You're going to be learning some incredible principles around real estate and mindset. And I'm going to be bringing some AI, some branding, and some marketing.
It's going to be amazing, guys. It's going to be incredible. We can't miss it.
Yeah, let's go. All right, so then we'll jump back in after that, and we're going to get into TCA. So Chris, you're doing a lot right now, man. You wrote this incredible book, Just Maximize. I see you speaking on stages all over. You're booking all these events, and I know that you've been working on a project that's near and dear to your heart. Can you share the story of TCA and what it is, how it came to be? Talk about the vision card. Share the full story with you and your wife, and then let's tell people what you're setting out to do that's never been done before.
Well, you know, it's funny we spoke about purpose because I feel like TCA is so aligned with my purpose in life that it's going to become the biggest real estate educational company, fitness company, entrepreneurial education company in our country. And I say this very respectfully to our competitors, because I know some of them, but we're simply the best. And not only that, but we're going to be able to provide a service that people normally pay $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for a membership with a referral business model, compensation model, where the people who actually go out and sell the product make 60% of the sale, where the people who come in, and we're designing this company in such a way, Cody, where it's going to be a company of the people who come in on board to learn about it. We're not after money with this company. Yeah. We're after dominion of an industry.
Come on.
So we're going to change lives. We're after building leaders, building millionaires, aligning them with their purpose, allowing people to go into financial freedom and truly do what they're called to do and use real estate for it with good fitness, with good mindset. And if you're not a real estate agent, you're not a real estate investor, and you still want to benefit from it, you can, from the fitness part and the entrepreneurial classes that we give. So TCA, we have our educational company under it called Maximize University. And through Maximize University, we're going to be offering all those courses. Right now, we're in the process of getting this in compliance with every single state in our country because we're going to go nationwide. We're about 5 weeks away from that.
Wow.
And the technology.
That'll be around the time this episode drops.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, in about 2.5 months, we'll be fully ready to launch our company and start giving our services. I have probably 60 people that have reached out to me that want to be part of our company already.
Yeah.
And in the company, we have about 18 people working in the company already for the last 4 months, relentlessly to build this massive, you know, amazing monster we're building. So it's pretty exciting, man.
Dude, that's amazing. And can you tell us how you got the vision for TCA?
Yes. So I was in the process of writing the book, and actually I was finishing up the book, and we do this thing in our church called Vision Card. And you have the vision card is something where you go in and you write down 9 things that are pretty much impossible for you, where you want to see the hand of God move, where you need a miracle, right, for them to happen. So, you know, I had this urge of making it happen, of writing it down. Me and my wife hadn't sat down and done it. So I was driving on the freeway somewhere in Chula Vista and called my wife like 10 in the morning. I said, "Where you at?" She goes, "I'm somewhere in Eastlake." I said, "Look, I'm going to exit the freeway here. I see a McDonald's. Like, just come over. Let's do our vision card. I feel this urge of doing it." So started working there and then Mickey D's while she got there, she arrived. We wrote our 9 things.
Yeah.
We started praying for them, held hands. And a minute into it, Cody, I saw this black screen and it said influence nationwide.
Mm.
And I feel like Denise would open up my eyes and I'm like, Denise, I think we forgot to put something down. I think God wants us to write down influence nationwide. So we wrote down 0.05 influence nationwide, and it was on the card. Immediately started doing social media. One of my first videos got like 400,000. You know, a later video got like 1.3 million. It's at 1.7 million views already. I'm sorry, 1.3 million. It went up to 1.7 million. So God confirmed the vision, and I see people, the talent of people that are being added to this company, Cody, is incredible. More than any company that I have ever built.
Wow.
So that is why I believe this company is going to become the best. Not just because of my skill and my calling, but the people that are joining.
Yeah.
And we have people who have done this before, who are calling me and saying, hey, I had this vision where I have to come under your leadership. How does that look like?
That's crazy. Yeah. And it's a testimony to the man that you are. Because you will attract who you become. And great leaders, teams are attracted to them because they see, honestly, like an anointing on their life from God and the way that they run and operate in that. And they want to be a part of that. And great leaders know that they're nothing without their team.
Yes.
So that's a very cool symbiotic relationship there. And TCA stands for the Chris Aguilar, correct?
Yes, that is correct, Cody. And something you said right now was super cool. And I want to share this here on camera, is I grew up wanting to be like my father. And the reason I wanted to be like my father, Cody, is because he was always an entrepreneur before he became a pastor and retired. And I remember like a cold day, rainy day back in the 90s with the El Nino storms, I remember. And he was doing this business transaction. And I remember me being there with him. He took me with him. I kind of like didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And it was cold. I don't want to be there. There's nothing to be happy about. And I would see my dad doing his business deal, and people were just drawn to him. Like if he was a magnet. And I remember me just closing my eyes and said, God, I want to be able to feel like my dad one day. Like there's nothing to be happy about. He has this big old smile and people are drawn to him. And the last recruit, I won't say his name, but he has influence in this industry, you know, nationwide, to TCA, to our educational company, came up to me and told me exactly that. He said, Chris, I'm drawn to you because I feel like you have this magnet, dude, where your personality, your vision, your obsession just draws me to you, man. Like I want to be part of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, it hit me. I said, I prayed for this before.
Wow.
You know, when I was a kid. So it is amazing that whoever ever authority you're under, you're going to become, you know, and you attract, like you said, you know, who you are, not what you want or what you say.
Yeah. So and our mutual friend, Colin Higginbottom, talks about what you honor comes towards you.
Yes.
And like, how important is it, you know, even being around a leader like you, right? Like, and I look at what you're doing, I look at your team, I know some of the guys on your team, and I just think it's so cool because there's also sowing seed. So when you're under someone's covering and you submit under a leader, that overflows into your life. And the way that you honor their business and their company, I truly believe is like planting seed in a fertile soil that produces a great crop, and you get some of that seed. So like if you look at, if we went and planted a field right now, and we sowed seed in it, and we had a harvest that was plentiful. Well, all of that harvest also has seed out of the fruit that can be planted into more fields to produce more harvest.
Yes.
So I think there's this amazing biblical principle of honoring like the leaders in your life, submitting underneath of them, sowing into them. And maybe you stay with that organization, that individual forever. Maybe it's a season, but I do know what you plant, you will get a harvest later.
It's so true. And never burn bridges, you know, humble yourself, never be submissive, but do be a humble person where if you need to apologize, you know, never burn bridges. I will stay in contact with the people who help you. Be a grateful person.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I had a great conversation with Bob Gosnell, you know, the guy who hired me in this big company. He was still the owner of the company, you know, one of my mentors. And I spoke to him yesterday. We both shared some tears about our boy, Richard Alstermeyer, together on the phone. And he said, I miss you, son. You got to come around more often. I said, Bob, I'm building my thing. You know, it's been a little tight schedule, but I'll make some time. Let's go on your boat. Let's go for a cruise. So I'm going to hang out with them soon. But it is important to keep that contact with people who have helped you in the past.
That's good.
Yeah. Be honorable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that wisdom. So, you know, Chris, as we're coming to, you know, an end with things here, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me that there's something on your heart that you can impart into us, even beyond just even with what you're doing with TCA is amazing, what you're doing in business with your book, but you're somebody that's gone out there and you've done it. And there's so many people that want to do it, whatever that is for them.
Right.
And they keep failing and they keep failing and they keep failing. And I feel like you have something, sorry to put you on spot.
That was great.
Yeah. But that you can impart even into me, into every single listener of this show.
So, you know, one of the things that gives me the power, the energy, you know, it's not about feelings. Somebody asked me, you know, Chris, what are you? First of all, Chris, you're so lucky. I'm not lucky. Luck doesn't even exist. Greatness does. And greatness is in every single one of you. Like every single person listening to this podcast is a genius. Mm-hmm. You are. But if you live an entire life judging a fish by its ability to climb a tree, he's going to live a life if he believes it, thinking it's stupid. You see, it is important that we understand that the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is in you and gives life to our mortal bodies. You know, it's important to understand that power that God has given us is in us, and it gives us insight in what's to come. You know, I've got invited to speak, you know, 3 years in a row to the Association of Appraisers of Southern California on what's to come in the market. And I'm not a economist. I'm not a real estate agent. You know what they called me? Because they look at public records and they look at what I'm doing, what I'm buying, what I'm selling. That's what they called me, because they know I know what I'm doing. And when I was there speaking, after I was done speaking, there was three speakers and two scholars from like the best universities in our country. I was honored to speak there. And, you know, I was being asked all the questions after the conference. And really, I was just saying, hey, I tap into this source called the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
That gives me insight in what's to come. Yeah. And it doesn't stop with church, with family, with business. And everything I do, it gives me insight. If I meet someone and I don't supposed to be there, the Holy Spirit tells me, get out of here. And I've done it and it saved my life. You know, or it saved me losing millions of dollars by not doing business with someone that the Holy Spirit tells me not to do business with. So trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'd say.
That's so good, man. Thank you for that. I knew I needed to prompt you for that. And man, it's just a cool moment, because I was coming up as a young man and my dad's been in prison my whole life. And I had a mentor that died of cancer from 13 to 16 named Wally. I was exposed to successful businessmen. And as I started to go into that world, I was really drawn, like, to the guy in my city that built the company, that had the big house, that drove the nice car. And as I started to navigate into that and move towards men like yourself, there was a few things I saw that were different. I saw men that were divorced, that didn't have good relationship with their kids, but were multimillionaires. And then I stumbled upon this man that I'm like, how? He goes to church every weekend. He's an amazing husband. He's an amazing father. He's got 5 thriving businesses. And there was something different about him when he talked to people, the way that he treated them, the way that he held himself. And I finally got him to have coffee with me. And when he got the opportunity to mentor me and speak into my life, the first thing that he said is, everything I have is because of the Holy Spirit. Everything that I have is because of Jesus. Wow. He has been my guiding light. I submit to him. I serve him. None of this is mine. And that was a moment for me. I was drawn to the success and the life that he had, but he used that as a moment to disciple me. And now it's been so cool, Chris, because I've had the privilege of pursuing personal development and business for about a decade now. I'm still a young man. It's put me in many rooms with guys like you. And the only guys I want to sit in rooms with are guys that put God first, guys that put Jesus first. Yeah. There's something different. And you got that, man. And I'm just so glad we got to bring this up on the show, because I've also been in rooms with some of the most successful names we know out there that aren't living in that way. And I've seen things and I've felt things that just didn't feel right to me. But I think that territory is being taken, and I really feel like, and I'll even prophesy because I feel it in my heart, that TCA will go out and become the number one real estate education company in the world. What you're doing is getting around access to knowledge to people that can't afford it, that don't need to go in and buy a $50,000 package, that will learn how to have wealth to change their life. But you're building the kingdom. Yes. And the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's right. And I think that there's a calling on your life to do that for people. And I'm calling a wake-up call to everyone out there to start pressing in, to get into the Word of God. You want to make more money in business? Get into the Word of God. You want to make more money in business? Get around guys whose hearts, who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and know that all things will be added unto them. Get in proximity to that. But we need more people taking territory.
Cody, and you know, I'll say one more thing. I love what you said. I am in agreement with what Cody said. If you truly want more influence, again, you cannot be trusted with a massive influence, cash, whatever it is you're asking for, if you don't have the capacity for it. God would just not drop it on you because you'll get hurt. So you need to understand how to build yourself and invest in yourself to be able to be that person. And it starts in your home. You know, a lot of people know me outside of home as a great, you know, I have employees who cried saying, this is the job of my dreams. You know, who are given a raise and like, oh my God, you don't have to give me another raise. Like seriously, last year. But let me tell you, they have not met the careers that I am at home, because my best is always at home. And I require that from my children. And I have my wife keep me accountable to that. And I keep her accountable to that. But my best is always at home. And out of the abundance of what exists in my covenant and in my home, everybody else receives of that overpouring. So, but it starts with the root, which is being rooted in God's word. Yeah.
That's so good, man. Where can people, and we've dropped it earlier a little bit, but I want to make sure, I mean, after an episode like this, that people can connect with you. They need to follow what you're doing.
Yes, I would say one of the best ways to connect with me is through social media, through Instagram. We're pretty much in every social media, you know, a platform. So whatever is your favorite platform, reach out to us through there. And, you know, connect with one of our social media managers. And if there's any questions they can answer, they're going to ask me. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. So follow us on social media. I use Instagram and TikTok a lot. Instagram, you can find me at the.chrisaguilar. That's our name there on Instagram. So yeah, follow us. That'll be amazing.
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Probably going to have you back again because there's just so much we can dive into. We'll probably bring you back after TCA launches and so many things going on, all these events you're speaking at. Mm-hmm. And man, I just want to say I love you, man. I appreciate you.
Love you too, man. And looking forward and building life with you together, man. And business, becoming closer to you. And this first conference that we're going to be speaking together in Modesto is going to be the first one of many.
Come on. Let's change some lives, bro.
Let's go.